Hello, my name is Golda Aharon. This MES in 5 will discuss the treatment of dental emergencies on Shabbat. This podcast is based off an article by Rabbi Moshe David Tendler and Dr. Fred Rosner, originally published in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, number 14. I would like to explore the Jewish ethical considerations regarding a dentist's permissibility to treat a dental emergency or potential emergency on Shabbat. We know that, in general, Judaism allows the preservation of human life to take precedent over all else, except for the three grievous sins, murder, incest, and idolatry. This principle is known as pikuach nefesh. So, in theory, if a dental emergency were to be named life-threatening, the dentist would be permitted to treat the ailing patient in front of him, even if it required him to transgress the commandments he normally observes every week. But does Jewish law consider dental emergencies to be life or death? What about a case where the patient is not in danger of dying, but his condition still requires immediate dental attention? This podcast is intended to introduce this expansive topic and explore the halakha considerations relating to dental emergencies on Shabbat. Let's start by discussing a case where halakha might consider the patient's dental emergency to be life-threatening. A frequent question among observant dentists is whether an abscessed tooth is considered pikuach nefesh, such that providing treatment would be permissible on Shabbat. A tooth abscess, according to MayoClinic.org, is a pocket of pus due to a bacterial infection in the tooth. Its treatment requires incision and draining, activities normally prohibited on Shabbat. Failing to treat an abscess can result in serious health risks, including root canals. In some cases, delay of treatment may even be life-threatening. Under the principle of pikuach nefesh, therefore, a dentist is permitted to administer treatment to his abscessed patient on Shabbat. And this license actually holds true even if the patient's life is not directly in danger. Why is this? Rabbi Tendler and Dr. Rosner explain, the halachic notion of pikuach nefesh is not the same as the medical dental definition of threat to life. Namely, the standard of danger considered life-threatening in halacha is much lower than that in the world of medicine and dentistry. Consequently, the Shulchan Aruch states in Orach Chaim 3:28 that any maka shel halal, an internal sore from within the lips and mouth, including teeth, is considered pikuach nefesh, as long as that sore may lead to a potential threat to life. Jewish tradition recognizes that diseases of the mouth are particularly dangerous because of the direct circulatory links between the oral cavity and the brain. The fact that most dental emergencies can be treated with antibiotics today does not undo the status of the infection as a pikuach nefesh case that allows for treatment on Shabbat. Similarly, jaw swellings and gum infections are also classified as makah shel halal and may be considered like any other pikuach nefesh case on Shabbos. What about a situation where a patient is suffering from a dental ailment that is severe but not life-threatening? Would the dentist be permitted to treat this patient then? In addition to pikuach nefesh, there are three categories of illness which may merit the setting aside of Shabbat prohibitions. 1. Cholesh yesh bo sakana, an ill person with no danger to life. 2. Michush ba'alma, minor discomfort. And 3. Chesron aver, potential loss of function of organ or limb. Regarding a cholesh yesh bo sakana, like a patient suffering from a painful but ultimately non-life-threatening toothache, we are able to suspend the rabbinic prohibition of amira la'akum, asking a non-Jew to perform work on Shabbat. Thus, an observant dentist should not treat the patient himself, but rather may instruct a non-Jewish colleague to do so. In the case of michush ba'alma, minor discomfort, the halacha is less flexible, dictating that taking medication on Shabbat is impermissible, lest the patient become lenient and take other halachic liberties. In the time left, we will discuss the fourth type of patient, who is suffering from chesron aver. Chesron aver, to be clear, is not the loss of a limb or organ, but rather the potential loss of that limb's normal function. This condition is considered to fall between the seriousness of a bikuach nefesh case and the security of a cholesh sheyesh bo sakana. The Shulchan Aruch maintains that a case of chesron aver is sufficient to suspend rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbat. The question we must address is, does a potential loss of a tooth constitute chesron aver? What to do with a patient presenting a dental avulsion from trauma? On one hand, the Mishneh Olot does not list teeth as one of the 240 organs of the human body, suggesting that potential loss of teeth would not constitute chesron aver. According to the Avnei Nezer, however, chesron aver includes situations that interfere with the normal functioning of a limb, even like a limp in the leg. So, because the loss of teeth causes abnormal functioning of the jaw, a bona fide limb, potential loss of teeth may be considered chaser and eiver and sufficient cause to suspend rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbat. So, to wrap up, we looked at four types of dental emergencies: pikuach nefesh, chole sheyesh bo sakana, mechush ba'alma, and chaser and eiver. We saw that there are dental emergencies that qualify as pikuach nefesh and chaser and eiver, and so should be evaluated carefully on Shabbat. This podcast was a brief introduction to a fascinating and important topic, and I encourage listeners to speak to experts and research more about these issues on their own. Thank you for listening.